I think we thank God for the word that God has given to us. You know, before I pray, I should make a confession saying that, you know, I really enjoyed Ecclesiastes. And sometimes when you look at this particular book, you might see it a bit more dry, but when you start digging into the text, you realize, you know, it's so powerful, it's so encouraging. It is helps us to love God and to be just focusing Him at all times. You know, before I pray, you know, let's continue to remember our VBS, right? As kids come here, that God's presence will be felt. Let's pray. Father, we thank you once again for the word that is given to us. Lord, we pray, God, that you will help us to know your thoughts, to know you, O God, to experience you. In Jesus' most wonderful and loving name we pray. Amen. I believe many of us have unforgettable events or even moments in our life, right? Particularly when you were a child, your mom or dad would have said, you know, don't touch that, hot pan because it's so hot. You don't touch. And then, you know, many times what happens, you know, you want to experience or experiment it, and so you touch. And then you realize, you know, it's hot, it hurts, I shouldn't go near. And there are so many things, you know, that we will tend to remember, particularly those who are driving. If you are given a ticket for speeding in a particular road, what do? That next time you're around, right, you will be much more careful. You will be on a lookout to see is there any cops or even policemen around, and so that you don't get another ticket. Now, what happens, you know, all these experiences influence our life, right? Things that helps us whenever we start remembering, and it helps us to be on focus. But when you forget all these things, what happens? You tend to get ticket, you tend to get hurt, like the small child. So Solomon is ending his book, particularly this Ecclesiastes, by stressing on the importance of remembering. He says, you know, I want you to remember these things. And he comes to more of a summary and says, you know, I want you to remember this. Like a school teacher, he says, these things are important and I want you to remember. Because there are moments that we tend to forget. Some of you would have read the books of Mark Twain, who wrote The Adventures of Tom Sawyer. Very interesting author, very famous during his time. He was well known. And he was invited, you know, to present or even talk about his books in universities and even before kings. So Mark Twain was so famous, you know, that he went around Europe. And I was reading his life. You know, he came back home one day. And let me tell you, small kids, they really are innocent and they're very honest in what they say. So the daughter looked at him and said, "Dad, welcome back home." And so Mark Twain was so impressed. By the way, he was a Presbyterian. His funeral was held even in a Presbyterian church. But during his lifetime, he started questioning God. Just growing up, even as a Presbyterian, he saw God differently. He didn't see the God of the Old Testament. He saw God differently. So the daughter made a profound statement. And these are the words. She said, "Daddy, I guess pretty soon you'll know everybody except God. I guess pretty soon you'll know everybody because you are known by so many people except God." I think that is the motive of Solomon, right? Solomon wants us not only to know the things of this world, but he wants us to know God. You know, I read that we live in a culture called the name-dropping culture. Do you know what is a name-dropping culture? You know, it's a culture, you know, that you want to, you know, say that I know so-and-so. It's not what you know, but who you know. That's the culture that we live in today. It's not the kind of skill that you have, you know, which is important, but who you know, the kind of people you know. Right, you tend to impress others by saying, you know, I know so-and-so. I know so-and-so. And that's the kind of culture that we are living in. So Solomon is saying, yes, it's good to have all these things because he was a wise man. He was a king. He was blessed with luxury. He was known throughout the world. At the end, he says, you know, it's important to know God because that is wonderful and that promises eternity. And so he reminds us the things that we need to know about God. Not like Mark Twain, you know, who was started as a Presbyterian, right? And then he started questioning God of the Almighty, the God of the Old Testament. And then even his child have to ask him that, you know, say that you would not know God. So three things that, you know, Solomon is wanting us to remember in this particular book or even chapter. Three things. The first thing that he says, that you know, you need to remember this because if you don't, it is going to affect your life. Because if you remember these things about God, you know, it is going to influence you. It will have a lasting impact in your life. If not, you tend to forget God. The first thing, you know, Solomon is saying, you know, God, our Creator. Look at the word very carefully if you follow me, you know, Exodus chapter 12, he says, remember your Creator. Right? He says, in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come and the years approach when you will say, I find no pleasure in them. In other words, Solomon says, I want you to remember the Creator. You know, many times we will say, you know, yes, I do remember the Creator. You know, Solomon is not talking about that there was, you know, that you have forgotten about God or there is a memory lapse in us. It's not that, you know, we have forgotten totally about God. Yes, each and every one of us know about God. But whenever you look at the word remember in biblical terms, it's a different word altogether. It's not that you have forgotten about God. It's not because God is way behind you. It's about remembering the deeds of God. That's what Solomon is trying to teach us. Remember the things that God has done in your life. The many blessings that He has given to you. Remember all these things because God has been so wonderful in the days of your youth. As you are growing up, God has done so wonderful things. He says, remember. Psalmist also says in Psalm 105, verse 5, remember the wonders of God. Have you realized when you apply for a university, a particular university, and you pray hard, and God gives you, and He said, Lord, you know, I'll be a great testimony in that university. After a few months, you tend to forget. You pray hard for a job interview. You say, Lord, I want you to give me that job. Lord, I want you to do that particular healing in my life. You know, when you do that, Lord, I'll be a great testimony for you. I'll be on fire for you. But sadly, after 3 months, you know, you tend to draw away from God. I think that's what Solomon is saying. Remember. It's not that you have forgotten about God. You need to remember the deeds that God has done in your life. That's important, my friend. We need to remember the many things that God has done in your life. He has saved us. He has been so kind to us. He has healed us. He has given us good jobs, good families, good incomes. But do we remember Him for a few months or do we remember Him, you know, throughout the things? Do we have a heart full of gratitude? That's what Solomon is trying to say. If you read in Ecclesiastes, he talks about it. Remember the gift of life, right? He talks in chapter 2, verse 25. You know, chapter 3, he says, you know, enjoy the good labor. In other words, you know, you remember the thing when you start remembering God and the things that God has done, you try to enjoy Him. In other words, you love Him more. God's become so wonderful to you. You'll enjoy Him because He has done things in your life. That's what Solomon is saying. He says, remember while you are able. If not, it will be a difficult time for you. Three things, you know, he's saying. Remember, because he says, before the days of trouble come. You know why? Because if you don't remember the good deeds of what God has done, when the days of trouble come, there is nothing for you to draw strength from God. In other words, if you don't see the goodness of God and you don't count the blessings that God has done in your life, when the days of trouble come, you got nothing to say, Lord, you have been so wonderful to my life. I've been so grateful. And I know that you will carry me through. He has nothing to lean on. And he says, before you become old, right? The years approach when you will say, I find no pleasure. I want you to read this particular chapter. It's interesting. He talks about the grinding of the teeth. In other words, you know, today you can have a lot of implants, but in those days, no. In other words, you can't eat. He talks about moments that you cannot stand, right? What Solomon is saying, when you start remembering the things that God has done in your life right now, they become your strength in the old days, my friend. I remember, in my years as a pastor, I've seen a lot of people. By the way, I buried a lot of people in my ministry. My wife would attest to that. In many of the conversations, particularly those who are dying, they will tell me, you know, Pastor Vincent, I should have done that when I was young for God. I should have been involved in these things. I should have been, just been faithful to God. All I did was just saving money, working hard, but I didn't have much time for God. Let me tell you, talk to people who are old and you'll realize, they would say, if I were given another opportunity again, I'll be on fire for Jesus Christ. That's what Solomon is saying. Before you become old, start remembering the goodness of God, because it will become a strength in your life. And lastly, he also says in verse 7, he says, before the end of life, before you go to the eternal home and mourners, right, go about the streets. In other words, before your life ends. Similarly, in my pastoral ministry, many have said, I should have given my life totally to Christ. And even they will ask me, do you think I'll go to heaven? As if I'm Peter, right, who can just open the gates of heaven. No. I say, it's between you and God. Before the end of life, my friend, before we regret and say, I shouldn't have done this. I've wasted my life. And that's what Solomon is saying. Enjoying God. Enjoy the things that God has given to you. Enjoy Him as a creator. He has blessed you. Stop grumbling. He has blessed you with good jobs, good families, good income. Why do you compare? Enjoy the things that God has given. Be grateful. If not, life would be a regret. Life would have been a waste of time. Secondly, he says, second word, if you look at the word very carefully, he says, God is our shepherd. In other words, not only God is our creator, he's reminding his subjects and those who were reading this particular word, just remember that God is your shepherd. Not only is he your creator, but he is your shepherd. So if he's your shepherd, listen to him. If you look at the verse 11, he says, the words of the wise are like goats. They are collected sayings like firmly embedded nails given by one shepherd. In other words, he's talking about God, that God has actually given. If you realize that is the theme of the Ecclesiastes, it's God who gives us wisdom. It's not the things of this world, the wealth of this world, the joys of this world, but it's God who gives us the real joy. It's God who gives us wisdom, and it's God who is able to make our life meaningful. And he says, by one shepherd. Listen to this one shepherd. When you look at the word very carefully, I want you to read this word. It's not saying that we shouldn't be engaging in other books, right? Yes, it's good to read. But I think it's important for us to dig into Scripture. Unfortunately, many Christians, right, it's sad, we read so many other books, but one of the last books is the Bible. I remember in my day's studies in the U.S. when I was with my wife, there was one particular paper my professor did not give me a good mark. I always expected an A for my paper. But he gave slightly lesser than an A. And he was teaching me theology. So I went to him. He's still around. So I went to him and I said, you know, I said, look at my paper. I think I deserve an A. Because I worked hard and my wife knew very well. I spent a lot of my time in the library studying, researching. He says, I cannot give you an A. I said, why? And then he said, did you see the circles I've made? I said, yeah. He said, you have used the secondary source. And I said, what? He says, the Bible is the secondary source, my friend. I said, the Bible is the primary source. He says, no, the Bible is a secondary source. And I want you to quote, you know, other books, other scholars. You know, I had a good discussion with him. Finally, he changed my grades to A because I was trying to tell him that the Bible is the primary source, my friend. So Solomon is saying it's good. It's wonderful to get, you know, the words of the wise. But then the words of God is much more important. You know why? Two words that he's using here. If you look at the word very carefully, he says goats and then nails, right? The words of the wise are like goats. In other words, he's saying that, you know, in those days, it's like a stick where they use it to tame the ox or even to direct the ox to go in a particular direction. And so that's what he's saying. You know, this word of God is important because it directs our path. He leads us in the right direction. Yes, God is our creator, but is God our shepherd? Is he leading our lives? Or are we led by something else, by our careers, or by the world? He says, we need to allow God to not only lead us also, but to motivate us. And he's using the word nails here. It's very interesting, you know, if you look at the Hebrew text, it's not just an ordinary nail that he's talking about. It's about, you know, the stakes that people use to make tents. Some of you have gone for camping. You don't use ordinary nails because the tent will fly, you know, when a wind comes by. You use real stakes. And that's what he's saying. You know, when you have that kind of nail and you nail it to the ground, it gives you stability. Nothing can move you like the wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came, the storm came. It stood, my friend. And that's what he says. Listen to him because you'll be firm. The winds of difficulties will challenge you. The winds of doubt will come, but you will still stand firm. And so it is important for us, like what Solomon is saying, are we listening? Where are we drawing our direction today? Is it from God's word? Or is it the five things to do to be successful living? Or 10 things to be successful in your life? I would encourage you to read Solomon, because he talks about even investing. How do you invest? You know, how do you do trades and all that? Lastly, he talks about, you know, God as the true judge. Yes, we live in a world, right? We talk about the love of God. We talk about the grace of God. But let's not forget, you know, that God is the true judge. So he said, fear him. Fear him. In verse 14, he says, fear God and keep his commandments. You know, I was reading some books, right? It's very interesting. You know, today, the Christians are looked at differently. In the 19th century, you know, the Christians were always called as God-fearers. They were God-fearers. That's how Christians were called. Today, I do not know what kind of term they use for Christians. In the 19th century, the Christians were on fire, so they were always known as God-fearers. They fear God, not human fearers, not government fearers, but they were God-fearers. And so he says, fear God. You fear God, he says, by keeping his commands or commandments. Look at Proverbs, he talks about it, right? He talks about, he says, my son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, then you will understand the fear of God. So he talks about listening to the words of God, giving yourself to the words of God. Because if not, what happens? We dishonor God, my friend. Not only we disobey God, we dishonor God. As a child, when you do obey your parents, what happens? Not only you disobey them, but you dishonor them. And that's what Solomon is trying to teach us here. Right? And then he says, you need to fear God. You know, whenever we see the word fear, you know, we think, you know, we have to be afraid of God. Here it means it's about love of God. It's about the peace of God. You know, I love Him. I want to adore Him because He's number one to me in my life. And He says, you need to fear. You know why? Because right, you will one day appear in the judgment seat of God. So that each of us will receive what is due to us, the things that's done while in the body, whether good or bad. In other words, you know, he says, you need to fear God, you need to love God, you need to adore Him, you need to live for Him. He has to be your priority because one day, for sure, you and I will be facing the judge, my friend, for every deed that we have done, good or bad. We need to give an account to the Lord. And Paul talks about it, right? He talks in a lot of passages, talks about it, right? That we need to give an account. Even though we might be saved, even though the Lord Jesus Christ is the Lord of our life, my friend, but we still have to give an account for the words we have spoken, for the deeds that we have done, for the things that we have been involved. And that's what in 2 Corinthians, Paul talks about it in chapter 5, verse 12, my friend. And even Jesus speaks about it too. And so, you know, we live in a time and age, there's too much of emphasis on grace, right? Oh, God's grace is so wonderful. You know, it's too much of grace. Sometimes I feel it's very cheap grace. I believe all of us know this hymn, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Written by John Newton, right? Look at the words very carefully, right? Look at his words very carefully. Very biblical words. He says, because of grace, it taught my heart to fear. If you really experience the grace of God, if you really know the grace of God, I'm not talking about cheap grace, my friend. Today, there's a lot of emphasis about grace. But that's cheap grace. If you really know the grace of God, it makes my heart to fear. In other words, to live a life for God because I know someday I'm accountable for the things that I've done in this world. And that's what Newton said. And grace my fears relieves. Right? In other words, when I live in fear of God, it relieves me. In other words, he says, it relieves me from the fear of the known and the unknown, my friend. I'll know for sure that God knows. So true grace makes our heart to fear Him, makes our heart to love Him. As Solomon concluded, I think it's important for us to ask ourselves, right? Unfortunately, we live in a world, I want to conclude, we live in a world, people see God as a creator, like Mark Twain. But do we see Him as our shepherd? Do we allow Him to be our shepherd? Do we say, Lord, judge me, Lord? Like the psalmist, test me, O God. If there are sins in my life, reveal to me. True story that happened. Many of you would have, you know, visited Rome or seen the paintings of Leonardo da Vinci. Leonardo da Vinci was painting his masterpiece, The Last Supper. It took almost a couple of years for him to complete. So he wanted to paint the face of Jesus. So he wanted someone to have a godly face. When you look at the person's face, you will know, wow, that's the face of Jesus. So he saw this particular man. His name is Paitri. That this man was a member of a church. Not only was a member of the church, but he was also part of the church choir. He was singing for the Lord, worshiping God. You know, he was from the Milan Cathedral. He suited the figure, the face of Jesus. So he told him to sit, and then Leonardo da Vinci started drawing. And once he was done, he was told to leave the place. After a few years, Leonardo da Vinci, you know, wanted to complete his picture by drawing the face of Judas Iscariot. I believe all of us know who's Judas. So he wanted someone who would resemble him. And so he went to the streets of Rome. He was looking around for people, trying to get a person who looks like Judas. And then he noticed a man in the street, right? He looked bad. He looked evil. He looked like a very, you know, not looking good-looking kind. Leonardo da Vinci was able to say, this man is bad. His facial expressions, you know, all this thing. And then he said, you know, can I offer you, you know, this job? Can you come and sit? Because I want to do a painting of Judas Iscariot. This man said, okay, he came. He came to the place. He looked around. And then Leonardo da Vinci said, you know, I forgot to ask you something. What's your name? He said, my name is Paitri. I was the one, a couple of years ago, stood or sat for Jesus. You saw my face for Jesus. And now my face is for Judas Iscariot. What has happened, my friend? He was in a worship team. He was a chorister. He was from Milan Cathedral, a well-known cathedral at that point of time. Within 3 years, life have changed. You know, when I look at it, I tell myself, yes, today each and every one of us know God Almighty. But do we really know Him as the Creator? All of us are here because we know Jesus. We know we worship Him. We read His Word, yes. But do you really know Him? Do you enjoy Him? Do you enjoy the things that God has given to you? And say, Lord, I just thank you, Lord, for who you are, you know, for the blessings that you have given me, or even the challenges that you have given me, even the difficulties in my life, oh God, you have given me for a purpose. Is Jesus your shepherd? Yes, he's a good shepherd, but is he your shepherd? Who's directing you? Is he directing you, leading you? And lastly, let's not emphasize on cheap grace. Is he our judge? This man started well. He resembled Christ, but within 3 years, he was resembling Judas Iscariot. What went wrong? Probably, he did not allow God to be his creator. He was not enjoying the things that God has given to his life. He did not allow God or his word to lead him, guide him. He thought he can live his life without realizing one day he has to answer. And these are the words of Solomon, not only to me, but to each and every one of us. Living a life that truly matters, my friend. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you have given us access to your word, Father. We thank you because your word is sharper than the two-edged sword. It can heal us. It can also correct us, O God. It can also rebuke us and sustain us for righteousness. Lord, whatever we have heard from Ecclesiastes, Father, help us know that with Christ, how lives are meaningful. And without Christ, it becomes a meaningless life, O God. Help us, Lord, to see you as our Creator, to enjoy the things that you have given to us. And help us to say each and every day, Lord, lead me. Like the psalmist, Lord, test me, O God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.